107. Keeping Secrets. Arik lay on his sleep slab, staring despondently at the ceiling. The twisted joint of his left arm had been set and was clamped in a complicated device. He turned his head sluggishly. For a heartbeat they stared at each other, but as soon as he recognized her, he jerked upright. Intent on appeasing her worst suspicion first, Vox was hardly quick enough to prevent him from falling off his slab. Her still dysfunctional armor was no help in this matter either. When she had caught him and dropped him back onto the pillow, he visibly struggled with nausea for a moment.
Vox,
her friend gasped when he had caught himself a little. He groped for one of her hands.
I thought you wouldn't come, he said.
Arik, she replied, searching for something to say. His mind was a mess of swirling emotions, but the toothache-like screech of the demons was missing, and she decided to leave him alone. When she folded her senses back into her being, she became aware of his large, soft fingers between hers. Her hands were bare because she had held hands with Titus just now. The sensation was unsettling on a wholly new level. She sighed and dragged a chair over to sit down beside the bed. When nothing more sensible presented itself, she finally asked him, "What the hell?" Arik gave an aggravated groan and avoided her gaze. "What's the matter with you?" she demanded when he did not answer. "You endangered him and yourself. For what?"
"Oh, come now, Vox," Arik said and swallowed hard. "Never pass the mirror. Wouldn't you fight for you?"
"What? No, I wouldn't."
"Then you're stricken with rather bad taste, my love," Arik said and shakily tried to pull her hand up to his lips.
She retracted it before he could kiss her fingers. "Arik, what the—"
"Oh, spare me that shit,"
Arik demanded impatiently.
"I know you're a woman, all right? I know."
He shifted uncomfortably.
"And it makes me sick seeing you with that bastard. Literally," he added with an uncomfortable glance to the side.
Vox had frozen in shock. She searched for words and after seconds managed,
"Since when?"
Arik shot her a reproachful glance.
"Oh, please. You sat beside me for nights on end. After training, too."
His unsteady gaze wandered aimlessly through the room.
"I sure know what sweating women smell like," he mumbled. "Well, and you're rather easy to spot, to tell you the truth. Hell, Vox. Have you any idea?"
"Not the slightest," she said in a stunned voice, and was too confused to prevent him from grasping her hand again.
"Thought so,"
he mumbled, and this time managed to kiss her knuckles before she took her hand away again.
"Titus knows too, doesn't he?"
he inquired. "Yes."
"Damn. I so hoped for gay ultramarines. Emperor, why do you torment me so?" he asked the room at large.
"Stop blaspheming!" Vox demanded, even more shocked.
"Sorry."
"Arik, why didn't you tell me?"
"Seriously?"
he asked sarcastically and dared to look at her.
"Because of your damn black shield, of course," he scolded her. "I listen, you know. If you want to keep things secret, why should I blurt them out? Also, I was rather busy gawking at you and wondering why the hell you indulge that moron at every turn."
"If you insult Titus one more time, I'll break your other arm," Vox promised.
"And you think that would make you any less hot?"
Arik snapped, and the intensity of his gaze was rather uncomfortable. "What the fuck, Arik?" Vox exclaimed, completely taken aback by his behavior. "Are you possessed?"
"To my dismay, no," he burst out. "Could you please kick your captain overboard and claim the possession rights I'm waiving here?"
Vox stared at him. "Amazing," she breathed then. "Well done, Arik.
I've never been as bewildered and uncertain about what to do as now."
Arik closed his eye.
"I'd suggest wild smooching. But—"
"That's out of the question," Vox underlined. Arik sighed deeply.
"You mentioned that. What?
Vox burst out.
When? After you told me that Cadio was gone.
Oryx said so quietly it cut into Vox's heart like a knife.
I said don't fuck with me. And you said you weren't planning on it.
His gaze was even worse than his tones. It was so filled with resigned dismay that Vox failed to recount the event he had just mentioned. It was hard enough not to drown in his dark despair. She closed her eyes for a moment and focused. Learning to cope with emotions was one of the key skills for a psyker, and learning to distinguish whom they originated from was the crucial first step. The pain she felt was not hers, but it was a deep, dark, devastating pain that burned through someone she had opened herself to, and it was hard to get a grip on it. She started with finding out where it came from. Why are you hurting so much, Oryk? She asked softly. The White Wolf just looked back. Come on, she urged him. Tell me, what do you fear?
I shall know no fear,
he replied unthinkingly. And yet you do, Vox claimed gently. Oryk swallowed and answered as if hypnotized.
I fear that you will send me away.
Why should I? She asked.
Because I lost the fight.
There was something in his expression she could read. The pain she had accidentally touched on was an old one. It lay deep, almost at bone level. It was so old, Oryk probably had forgotten the absence of it. But Vox could see the shape. This time, it was her who reached out and took his hand. Who sent you away because you lost the fight? She wanted to know.
My tribe,
Oryk managed, strangely helpless at this moment. The hand he had sought out with persistence did not even receive a slight squeeze. And whom did you fight? Vox wanted to know softly.
My brother.
Older or younger brother? She inquired carefully.
My twin brother,
Oryk answered, and his words seemed to come from a long way away. Vox had not caught herself sufficiently to paint over her astonishment. You're a twin too? She asked in surprise.
Why too? Who else?
He wanted to know in confusion. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, she apologized. We had Space Wolf twins with Aegis a while back.
What were their names?
The White Wolf wanted to know. Hiron and Varen.
You had the Heart Rocks.
What? You know them? How?
Well, twins aren't common, right? We fought together in the last Black Crusade and I talked to them because they were twins too.
He looked down at her hand holding his. What's this twin thing, Oryk? Vox wanted to know. The White Wolf gritted his teeth.
Twins are bad omens for the tribes back home, he explained. My mother died in childbirth. That's not very unusual, I have to say, but...
But you had to fight your brother, Vox prompted softly when he stopped. In the half-light of the apothecarium at night, she spotted a few fresh cuts in his face, where he had received new anchors for his bionic eye.
Yes,
Oryk confirmed darkly, and his gaze wandered around the room again.
We didn't even get names,
he told her, starting to fiddle with her fingers.
The tribe fed us to our fifth summer or so, and then they set us against each other. I don't know, Vox. I don't know how that happened,
he said, closing his eye.
Maybe my father needed a successor or something. I don't know, really, I was just a kid.
And you lost? Oryk nodded and kept silent. How did you get your name? Vox inquired after a moment.
The shaman of our tribe,
Oryk said hoarsely.
She found me in the wilderness after they had cast me out. She asked me if I wanted another chance to carry the name Grimfang. She brought me to meet the Sky Warriors, and they took me along and gave me another chance. One of them called me Arik when he heard my family name. He didn't give his reasons, and I don't remember his name. I just...
Who else sent you away after you had lost the fight? Vox inquired when he stopped again.
Vox, Arik sighed, opening his eye and fixing it on her. Please. I'm in pain and rather heavily drugged. I know I'm not very rational about this. Just say, there, Arik, and it'll be all right.
Vox stroked his head with her free hand. You're with us now, she said. Arik smiled sheepishly and patted her hand.
Thank you, he said. Sometimes I just...
Not just you, Vox said with a gentle smile. Everyone needed a little care and attention sometimes. It was one of the basic human desires right after food and drink. Now she thought about it, she realized that the man did not seem to know that. Not explicitly, at least.
What would you have done had I beaten Titus? Arik wanted to know.
Vox thought about this. I'd have made sure you wouldn't kill him, she answered then.
Nothing else?
Arik asked, seemingly surprised about this.
No,
it's not my job to stop you from squabbling. In time, I might have told you how little honor there is in disobeying a captain. But apart from that...
That's really infuriating, Arik stated flatly.
What exactly? Vox inquired.
And then you made your choice and won't even have it challenged, of course.
Sorry, she said calmly.
Yeah.
He sighed again.
Me too. Could you give me a hug?
In power armor?
That's how I like it.
He struggled upright and Vox allowed him to sling his functional arm around her neck while she tried to sort out how not to hurt him.
Vox?
He asked into her ear.
Why didn't you tell me that you don't sleep during warp travel? I would have liked to keep you company on our way to Erech.
She freed herself from his arm and stared at him. A number of expressions crossed her face. Say, she inquired when she had reached annoyance. Could you just lay open all the things you've concluded about me right now? I'd feel so much calmer. Arik sank back onto his slab and looked away.
I know that you can read minds, but try not to do it,
he started to recount.
That power you used on us on Zenith is probably one of your own, so you must be able to see the future. And you're no Lexicanum. But that's so obvious, it shouldn't count as conclusion.
He dared to raise his gaze to her again.
Will you tell me why you don't sleep?
He asked. Vox looked down. I dream, she confided in him. If I dream the wrong things during warp travel, I'll take the whole ship down.
And will you tell me why Titus?
Arik asked in the same soft, almost resigned tone. Vox colored, and her eyes widened as she averted her gaze. I'm not sure I can explain that, she said.
Try, he urged her.
He feels good.
Even after what he did to you.
Vox looked around uncomfortably. Let's say he wasn't alone in making mistakes. Sometimes things go wrong. I know it must look very strange from outside.
More gay,
Arik said dryly and then grinned.
What? He teased her. Don't look like this. What do you think Rogue and I have been talking about all day?
Vox grinned sheepishly for this. Thank you for not giving me away, she said.
Sure.
Arik tried to shrug and winced.
Gay jokes are far more fun.
He turned his head away.
I would have wondered you even if you were a man.
Vox laughed, simply to ease the renewed shock. All right, she said. Should I ever grow a dick, I'll turn to you, I promise. I'll even try to be gay for you.
But until then, you stick with the ultramarine, he checked once again.
I'm faithful, she said softly.
Great, he sighed. Spare me the rhetorics on the worth of your word had you turned from him.
Gladly. Eric, is there something I can do for you? Vox asked, because she had trouble coping with his dismay.
Yeah. Please assure me that I won't face an enraged Titus tomorrow who was robbed of his night with you.
Vox smiled. He asks if he may visit you.
He's the captain, Eric said gruffly. He may do anything he likes.
You would like to know if you would be all right with him visiting, Vox said patiently.
No, please spare me that,
the Space Wolf mumbled dejectedly.
Seeing you two today was bad enough.
Suddenly he tried to sit upright again and swayed so much that Vox had to steady him. Eric, lie down, she demanded softly. But Eric only trembled, half bent double and fought down the nausea.
Vox, I'm sorry,
he gasped when he could form words again.
I screwed up. I'm sorry. Attacking him was stupid. I don't know what's gotten into me. Please forgive me. And please ask Titus if he will forgive me.
Eric, Vox said, trying to cope with this new development while forcing Eric down gently. Allow him to visit tomorrow and talk for a while. He feels guilty about the incident today. I'm sure you can forgive each other and move on.
He feels guilty?
Eric asked in astonishment.
For what?
For hurting you, dummy.
Crazy ultramarines,
the White Wolf stated flatly.
A Space Wolf would be furious.
You know, I get the impression that you shouldn't return home anytime soon, Vox said with a skeptical frown. Eric looked down.
You're probably right, he said quietly. I've never been a very good Space Wolf. All this ado about being manly and tough and loud.
Right, you never did that, Vox mocked him. Oh dear, she remembered suddenly. So you really got why it was so funny that I flirted with the rays? He had to laugh.
Yes, and I nearly pissed myself, let me tell you.
No details, please, she said flatly. He shot her an insinuating glance, but softened up quickly.
Can I have another hug and we leave it at that?
He asked playfully. What about I just continue to hold your hand until you've fallen asleep? Vox suggested.
Oh yeah, good idea, he said sarcastically. Cause you in the room isn't exciting enough. With you holding my hand, it'll be so much easier to sleep.
Concussion is a bad thing, Vox said, letting her fingertips brush over his forehead for a moment. Believe me, it's so much better when you've slept. Eric blinked sluggishly for a while. Then his dark eye wandered over to her again.
And you will be here when I wake.
If you want, I'll wake you before I leave for prayer.
I want,
he said quietly.
Thank you, Vox.
You're welcome, Eric. He looked at her.
Really?
He asked, and there was a desperate earnestness in his tone that made Vox smile softly. Very much so, she said.
Never been welcome before.
Now you are. Sleep.
May the Emperor guide you through the darkness, Vox.
May he guide us together, Eric, she answered. He sniggered.
So that's what you answer.
Congratulations, Vox said, rolling her eyes in amused reproach. Another thing you found out. Now sleep. He closed his eyes slowly, and only his thumb stroked over her fingers for a while before he went still.